Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for gifts, for ministry, and blessings." And he's given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing about overcoming grace. We read in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22. This is Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Verse 20. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he started with Barnabas and to Derbe." Verse 21. "When they had preached the gospel to the city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch." Verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Joseph Hedgecott shared this in 2015 at a meeting where he was speaking. "We know things aren't getting better, and I don't want to discourage you. They're not going to get better either. They're going to get worse. But for us that really have a heart after God, God said, when we see all this stuff coming, look up and rejoice, because your redemption is drawing nigh. It says sin is going to abound, but where the sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now I shared so much already in the deceptiveness of Satan and the ways that seem right and how easy he deceives us into things and gets us to believe something that is maybe true, but it's not the truth. Many Christians are thinking, well, when it's time, it's going to be okay. His grace will be sufficient. I assure you, everybody doesn't have sufficient grace. People are going down the tubes every day around the world that stand in the name of Christ, and they don't have grace to overcome what they're facing. Yes, God does give all of us grace, because even those that hate God could not even curse him without the grace of God. So he does give grace everywhere, but it's not going to be fulfilling, overcoming grace. The only people that God promises consistent grace to is the humble. God resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. You need to get that drilled deep in your heart. Satan keeps perverting all the definitions in the Bible. I like to keep it simple, as I've already been sharing. If you want to know whether you're proud or you're humble, it's very simple. Who is directing your steps? If you're directing your steps, you aren't in Christ. If you're humbling yourself and you're acknowledging the Lord, He's directing you. You're walking in humility. So you're either walking in pride or walking in humility. When you're Lord and you're in pride, God is resisting you. And we wonder why we aren't making great progress. But when we humble ourselves and He's directing our lives, God assists us. So God says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and in due season He will exalt you." Now there's some things going on here during that due season before the exalting starts. But when God starts raising you up, no man can bring you down. That's where we've got to be, because he said where that sin is going to be abounding in the last days, grace will much more abound. So those that are humble, God's children, that have yielded to his lordship and trust him with all their heart, and he's directing their steps, you will get sufficient grace. It doesn't matter what level the darkness goes, grace will be at a greater level, and we will abound and overcome. Now that's what's exciting to me, because as it gets worse, then I know I'm going to get more anointing and more grace from God. Jesus had enough grace to overcome the cross. And Paul overcame by grace in Lystra. The kingdom of God has been here to meet the needs of those who want to live the Christian life by the Spirit for nearly 2,000 years. Paul urged the disciples to use every opportunity to learn obedience that had become fearful after watching him being stoned and presumed dead in Lystra. He explained that they needed grace themselves to overcome tribulations in order to consistently enjoy the kingdom of God. If necessary, humble yourself, ask God to forgive you, and you will experience peace and joy, Romans 14:17, so that you know what to expect, obeying the Spirit step by step. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. I'm reading Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do everything in moderation, or you will get entangled in this world again after salvation, and not be ready for his appearing. Fear comes from anxiety, and anxiety from thinking on the wrong things. Create a list, like Paul, to think on yourself, so you'll not be comforted by lies for the sake of your flesh. Establish the peace of God on the narrow way, or the devil will use your desires of the flesh to make you a prisoner to earthly comforts. The global cost of the COVID-19 crisis has been estimated at 14% of the 2019 gross domestic products, around about $12.2 billion, while for Europe it's even higher, 16% for the Eurozone and 19% for the UK, according to figures published in October 2023. The world tried to get the economy back on track, but COVID is still here, affecting the vulnerable and weakening the immune system. There have also been price increases resulting from a war in Ukraine. Those trying to continue their busy lifestyles have found it difficult. Business were lost and loved ones affected. Jesus was speaking about the Jews in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. This is verse 24 to 28. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, recorded a message with the subject of Look Up that is available at www.slm.ch. Through COVID, the tides of the Gentiles are quickly coming to an end. A previous generation in such a pandemic would have repented deeply. However, the devil is using those with a confidence in the flesh to build his kingdom. In response to stress increasing in these last days, Jesus gave a command for his people to look up. On the 21st of December 2020, the Christmas star appeared, a conjunction of the two greatest planets in the solar system that appears every 800 years. In 2022, there were 12 full moons in 1 year. Four of these were red. Two of these were supermoons, when the moon appears closer, appearing about 7% bigger. And two were lunar eclipses. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You will be overcome by fear looking down for the wrong reasons, even if you are mature. Immortality comes through developing a personal relationship with Jesus, with a holy calling to do his perfect will in complicated situations, without taking his part of the afflictions of the gospel with God's power. Timothy was unprepared, unavailable, and became unwilling. There is no excuse for not having three things in abundance in these last days. Number one, a power not weakened by what is happening through fear. Number two, an ability to love and not react when others become selfish. And three, a sound mind not listening to lies for the sake of your flesh. Keep looking up as the world gets worse gradually. Those steadfastly acknowledging the Lord are being made perfect in this time. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love does not come from listening to your flesh. Keep your thoughts under control. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Fear includes torment that you can do without in these last days. Choose wisely. Through deep repentance, there is enough grace for you to function as Christ did when he was on this earth serving God. Make no room for fear by developing a love relationship with Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, verses 13 to 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 13. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. And you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. For more information on how to develop a love relationship with God through specific personal commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. If you do not get what you need following Christ, there is a reason why. God is not the problem. There are no excuses for not keeping his commands when your situation does not change or gets worse. Keeping his commands in more challenging situations are a greater expression of love to God, unless he changes them for you. Has your priority changed to show God that you love him in complicated situations? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for you, but not all things edify. The word edify in Strong's is number 3618. It comes from another word which means to be a house builder. That is to construct, or figuratively to confirm, or be in building, or build, edify or embolden. If you sense God becoming jealous over what you spend your time doing, repent. The devil used some believers to spread fear through conspiracy theories when COVID first appeared. Paul was not interested in what was lawful. He was ready to go without and trust God. The devil get you to waste your time and money. Be a house builder for God, or help the devil with his kingdom through the flesh and provoke the Lord. There are only two options. Paul wanted to know what might edify in terms of truth or through a testimony of repentance. Those that get the most correction and conviction are blessed in the kingdom of God. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everyone got grace to serve God in the pandemic with God's anointing and approval. A scheme was set up to pay staff to stay at home in the UK when COVID first appeared. Employees working from home using online technology are still saving time, but too busy to study and find out what his word says and means as stress is increasing in this world. In the Living Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, work hard so God can say to you, well done. Be as a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what his word says and means. You will experience more grace submitting to God and letting him work through you. Since March 2020, Servants of the Lord Ministries developed online technology to release video recordings of Joseph Edgecock speaking on different subjects. These videos are still here today in four languages for everyone to download. Those holding on to their fragile lives use their time to protest about government measures, restrictions during the lockdown, and or the vaccine. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If your spiritual life went backwards, you need to repent. Examine your motives and attitudes. Estimate how much time you are in the Spirit every week. Judge yourself and submit a weekly report to someone following Christ to ensure you are not deceiving yourself. Seek overcoming grace in precious situations above your basic needs, and you'll not be condemned with this world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The word labored in Strong's is number 2872. It comes from another derivative of a word meaning to feel fatigue. By implication, to work hard, bestow labor, toil, or be wearied. Paul wanted to be sure his spiritual equipment was in full working order. Whenever he missed the Lord, he humbled himself and used grace and truth to repent deeply. Paul was not looking for a shortcut to maturity. He passed those that had become weary, using their minds, trying to come to the truth, blind to all the opportunities he missed to establish a solid foundation, and complaining about challenging situations in the persecution. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Overcoming grace is given to those that have the right priorities, attitude, motive to pass through many difficulties in the last days. Follow those who have fruit of the Spirit in abundance on the narrow way. I can recommend the books of Joseph Hitchcock because I know he taught everyone to examine themselves, ask God the small things, and rejoice always. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. During the COVID pandemic, the newspapers reported a fuel shortage due to panic buying in the UK. I asked the Lord what to do, and he directed me to a source of petrol locally in time for an important trip the next day. You may have missed many situations to practice asking God everything and establish overcoming grace, keeping distances to avoid infection spreading. Overcoming evil in these last days is everyone's chance to redeem the time they lost previously listening to their flesh. As your body becomes older or weaker as well, you'll also need overcoming grace just to find enough strength to hear, trust, and obey. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Because the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4 and verse 12, are missing or rarely accepted, churches fill up with baby Christians, virgins today, confessing their sin but not coming to maturity. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 25, verses 3 to 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, I'm reading verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, on Getting Started, on page 19, Joseph Hedgecott writes, embracing conviction will produce the greatest amount of fruit in the shortest amount of time. There may be a great outpouring of the Spirit, but only the wise virgins used the wisdom to maintain righteousness in this parable, according to Jesus. In complicated situations, the wise know what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:15. Conviction is God's invitation to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, to study and repent. You will find instructions on how to set up a notebook by Joseph Hedgecock for this purpose in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 2, Practical Instructions, for those who want to be ready for his appearing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 7 to 10. This is Matthew chapter 25, only verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered and said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Shallow believers are needy, still looking for love and comfort. Trimming your lamps is not enough to be ready for his appearing. The foolish make excuses for not doing God's perfect will in complicated situations, for the sake of their flesh. They listen to a wrong voice that says, God understands, and his grace will cover everything. The wise virgins will be the last group that enters before the door is shut. Save yourself first, and if the Lord says, help someone else, fine. In SLM, we only have grace to help those following the sound teaching they received already through Joseph Hedgecock, and are learning from their mistakes through the rightly revealed word of truth. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 8. This is Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgeth another, thou condemns yourself. For thou that judgeth doest the same things. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, and against them which commit such things. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality and eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. There is no grace to judge anyone else in these last days, especially governments and churches. What is happening now is for the sake of his bride, seeking, number one, glory by God doing the work through them with his power. Two, honor by letting God use them in whatever way he decides. Three, immortality by asking God everything and obeying. Four, eternal life by denying self and taking up their cross daily in complicated situations to get to know God more. The judgment will be based on your response to truth and conviction, since the Holy Spirit now lives inside you. God has been patient, letting the world follow ways that seem right and become unrighteous for the sake of Gentiles born again with a heart after God. If you are contentious over the truth or resist conviction based on the written word or sound teaching, in the books of Joseph Hedgecock, you will be left behind. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begun at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 12, Escaping the Snares of Satan, on pages 208 to 210, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "How can you say you have a heart after God when you refuse to walk in the truth? You have been taught how to have an intimate relationship with God. You have received countless instructions about how to live in the Spirit. Yet you do not embrace and obey the truth. I have more respect for those who reject this ministry than for those who stay yet refuse to walk in the Spirit. At least the others are not hypocrites. They are honest in their rebellion. This is the truth. If you're not walking close to where you should be, you are and have been in rebellion. It is a silent rebellion because you actively participate in the ministry, but you will not do what God says. Instead, you choose to listen to Satan and yield yourself to obey him and his lies rather than to obey God and his truth. Let me remind you again, there is no third choice. In the spiritual realm, there are only two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. Both are influencing you, whether you know it, agree with it, or understand it. In the end, God decides who was faithful to him and who was faithful to the enemy. I have news for you. You are not in charge. You have no control over the circumstances in the universe. You have no control over eternity. You do not have control over what is happening in your life. So why not trust and obey the one who has all the control? Why not trust and obey God rather than trust the enemy, whose entire goal is to destroy you? It's imperative that you see the seriousness of this situation. You must recognize where you are spiritually and where you are not. It's time to stop making excuses. If you have not been faithful to God but continue to be controlled by your flesh and Satan, now is the time to confess your sin and repent. Do not let Satan steal from you anymore. Embrace the Lord's correction. Stop identifying yourself as who you are in the flesh. Instead, identify yourself with Christ, who's redeemed you and has provided the way to be set free. It's not too late. I want to remind you again, it's not too late to start fresh. Now is the time to go back to the cross. Ask God to forgive you and repent of your lordship. God is giving you the opportunity to have a fresh start with nothing held against you for the years you have wasted. You can be the recipient of fresh grace. God will pour out more grace in the last days than any other time in history. It is available to you, but you must be consistently humble to receive it. The keys to access this grace are found in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. Obeying these instructions will open the way for accelerated growth and an anointing that will overcome anything the enemy has used to trap you. Review these important instructions for Volume 1. Read Volume 1 from cover to cover, and do not try to figure out anything with your natural mind. Highlight or underline everything the Holy Spirit bears witness to as you read through it. Write down each item you marked in your notebook, making each one a topic for one page. Let the Holy Spirit show you the truth about each topic. Complete your notebook by including details about each truth the Lord shows you. Do not be discouraged if you need a large notebook. This shows you have the opportunity to be free from many hindrances. Let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth about each topic. Embrace repentance as you process each topic while in the Spirit. Give Satan no opportunity to condemn you. His overcoming grace in the last days is priority. Suffering for righteousness' sake will be a welcome confirmation you are ready for his appearing. Do not rely on ministry appointments in comfortable churches as evidence that you are obeying the gospel of God. Everyone now has a chance to repent and get ready. You are given two things. Number one, forgiveness of sin in his name to make a fresh start. And two, an operating system or new nature that will serve righteousness. The world is full of bad news, but there is forgiveness of sins in his name for those who want to make him Lord in all areas. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29. This is Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. When his people are asleep spiritually, other methods are needed. I was in Israel on a ministry trip with Joseph Hedgecock in the middle of an earthquake when the tall building we were in began swaying. Joseph was standing next to my bed saying, wakey, wakey, because I was still asleep. God is doing the shaking, not the devil, to keep his people awake, asking God the small things that they refuse to do consistently. Those asleep today, using their minds to come to the truth, have chosen ignorance. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. This is Luke chapter 12, I'm reading verse 29. And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Those trying to get their businesses back on their feet, borrowing more money, are often too busy and unwilling to serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear. Prices keep rising, and some items are not available. There is a war in Israel. Incurable diseases are appearing in India. Ebola has flared up a few times in Africa, but not spread by the grace of God. Air traffic control was shut down in the UK, and flights were all grounded for a whole day in 2023. On 19th of July 2024, a global IT outage caused by a software bug affected many services for a few days before everything returned back to normal. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, tell me in your own words what it means to look up. Please refer to the teaching of Joseph Hedgecock online as well, if necessary, called Look Up at www.slm.ch. Number two, when you realized stress was increasing in the last 4 years, what was your first response to all this, if any? And what is your response now? Number three, in what ways can evil situations be used to redeem the time in your spiritual life? Can you give three examples from your own life? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. if you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilty Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about overcoming grace. This is your priority. You can every day experience an amazing amount of grace if you do things God's way, in His timing, by the Spirit. Stay humble. Make sure you do the right things at the right time and repent of any dead works, and you will find that grace increasing all the time. And as you serve God with reverential fear, doing things at the right time, God will make a way for you. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.